Corey, okay, let's start here. It's already there. Corey's posted this on Facebook, I don't know, or Instagram or something. I don't know who saw it. But Corey has a really different sense of humor. So quite often I don't get what he says, but that made me laugh so much. You know, it says, there's plenty of fish in the sea, and these are the fish in the sea. Now, if you look at that, you tell me that God doesn't have a good sense of humor, right? And imagine these fish comparing themselves to each other. Because that's what we do. These are all fish. And you know what? God said they were all good. Everything he made was good. And we look at those, and let's face it, we go, And don't we immediately put human features to some? You know, like, at least some of those we wouldn't call beautiful or lovely. Right? But you know what? I reckon if you went around and said, which one do you think's the nicest, we'd all choose something different. And that night made me laugh, which is really good because we're doing the fire starters thing. We're doing the joy of the Lord. Like, joy is a weapon. It's a gift. You can laugh and start it as a weapon. Hey. And on that night, Ian did start a laugh. That's part of it. And it started as an exercise and became real like that. And then it became real for all of us, eh, Barbara? Like we were going, how can you do that? We just had to enter into it, the joy of the Lord. And it's something we can choose to do. And some of us have been trying to practice that, and it is contagious. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, and joy is a good thing, right? Anyway, I've had a real struggle as the leadership, you know, trying to get today's message sorted. And there's been a real attack. And except, you know what? Like the enemy often overplays his hands. I've talked to you about that. I had a really bad dream just before I woke up, and now I'm good. You know what? Like most of us, if we had a really bad dream, a lot of us can go, oh, I'm under attack. And I did. I went, oh, that was an attack. And I went, ha, that means something good is going to happen. You see, anything the enemy can throw at us, we can turn if we face God, didn't I? Ian's going, so I went, it's all right, it's good. The fact I had, it was a revolting dream. I won't share it because you don't want to know. I don't want to know. And I'm not going to even remember it later because I'm focusing on the Lord. But I knew this morning, went, right, I'm okay. God's going to come through. And I really believe that God's going to deposit something. And then last Tuesday at a leaders' meeting, Julie actually had a word that I was hoping was wrong. And she talked about a spotlight. And towards the end, she said, you know, I just have a feeling that the spotlight's going to come on Sunday for your message. And I'm going, I hope she's wrong, but she was right. But it was things like Dan sharing about the Alpha course and about Florence sharing about that lady and the things that Dorothy shared, you know, about not allowing ourselves to put limit on the things that God wants to do, that has just brought a few things home. And if we can have the next slide, thanks. Come as you are, become as he is. For those who can't read it, I'll put it down there. Like, I don't normally do these, as you know. Ian said last week he didn't, but mine's working. But actually, the reason I did this was because his didn't work last week. The reason I tried a PowerPoint was because his didn't work last week. And when we come as we are, God is able to take anything that's wrong and make it right. You know, and he's much better at this sort of stuff at anything about life, that we often, the enemy tries to tell us that our mistakes disqualify us or ruin things. But our mistakes are actually an opportunity for God to show off, if we let him. Because we are to come as we are. You know, there's two parts to that. This is our strap line for Slough River Church. If you haven't seen the website, that's our key banner. Because we want everyone to come as we are. You know, that's the gospel, isn't it? Come. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter whether you come from a great family, a bad family. Doesn't matter if you're 1 or 101. Just come. That's the invitation of Jesus. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But not only that, the opening for us to come was planned before the beginning of time. He always wanted us to come. He always wanted us to come, and he was always going to make the way for us to come. There is nothing that can hold us back from coming except our choice. And so, come as we are. We can have the next. For those who are here, I talked briefly about the book, Jonathan and Ian and I going to a park, and I had those outdoor table tennis tables, and he really wanted to play, and I really searched hard for this ball, and it turned out to look like that. I thought it had two dings. I went to Nottingham, and then I took a photo because he kept it because nobody else would have wanted to play with it. It didn't work like a table tennis ball, right? But we had the most fun we have ever had at a table tennis table. And we had these rotten bats. No, right. And it didn't bounce properly. And as the game went on, we made a new game. Because you had to adjust the rules to the condition of this ball. And you know what? When we come to the Lord, sometimes he just breathes on them and that just becomes a really perfect table tennis ball. I've seen God deliver instantaneously people of addictions, people of all healing. They come to the Lord, they get the whole package. They are totally new and that ball looks totally new. Like you'd never recognize them. That's what God does sometimes. And sometimes, for whatever reason, I don't understand it, and I'm not going to try and explain it because I don't understand it. But sometimes, before he does that, because remember we talk about living until God makes us perfect or until we get our deliverance or our healing, because none of those are from God. Everything that is good is from God. Sickness, bad things happening are not from God. But he can turn them to something good and fun. Just like we decided that we would use this ball that I'm sure nobody else would have. Well, there might have been some, but you know what I mean. Most people would have looked at that and gone, oh, well, can't play. But we decided that we could do something with that. And we ended up having more fun than had it been a really perfect table tennis ball. And you see, that's what God can do with our lives. In process, God will use us to bless other people. We do not have to be perfect ever for God to use us. As Ian has often said, we're bigger on the inside than the outside. The only way we cannot be a blessing is if we don't let him out. And even then, it's really hard to not let him out. I've talked about a time when everyone, when I was like really grumpy and really annoyed and wanted to be anywhere else but where I was with my football team. And the coach that night came up to me and said, thank you for the way you always bring peace. I went, you're welcome. And I'm going, it really wasn't me. You see, God was showing up because he was in me. He's bigger on the inside. He was overflowing and they were picking up his peace. It wasn't mine. But because I was there representing him, and I made an effort to be his representative there because I was the only one who knew the Lord in that team, he was able to leak out peace when I was like, like, I just wanted to knock a few heads. I really did. And those of you who know me know that I would really like to knock a few heads around sometimes. Not, you know, I tend to now be able to control that a lot more. But you know what I mean? God was able to radiate peace on that time. And I thought, if he can do that, he can do anything. Because that's not what I was expecting. You know, if they said, thank you for the way you always encourage us, I would have gone, yeah, I do that. Doesn't matter if I'm a bad mood or a good mood. Most of the time, I've really worked at being an encouragement to people. You. Oh, that's Jonathan, by the way. Or being an encouragement. But what he did was he said, thank you for the peace you bring. Now, that had to be God for my sake, showing me that something was happening. Because the enemy was giving me a really hard time about not being able to be light to the world. So, come as you are. Next. I asked Dorothy for these. Don't we sometimes think we're really grown up in the Lord? You know? And we love to dress up and God goes, aren't you cute? You know, the suit doesn't really make you grown up, but you know, hey, enjoy. You know, sometimes we come to God like this, or worse. I asked Dorothy for a really grumpy face, or that's the best she could do. And I thought, I've seen Caden worse than that. I've seen my boys definitely worse than that. But when Caden comes, we'll all welcome him. Dorothy especially welcomes him. No matter what mood. Now, she gets exasperated, and she sometimes tells me some of the things she's doing that's driving her nuts. But it doesn't stop her welcoming him. Just that I'm sure with Nathan and Simeon, and you're looking after him, you love doing it. But some days, right? We all know what that's like. But God is like that with us. You see, we can't be like that with kids and him be any worse with us. He's a much better dad. He's never sinned. He's never done anything wrong. He's always in a good mood, we've been talking about. He always wants to bless. So if I can, as a human being, look at my kids or people around me who are not being very nice at the moment through good eyes, God is looking at me through much better eyes. And Florence shared the other night about how God was starting to teach her about Simeon, about how she looked at Simeon and how much God just looks at her in a good way, in a loving way. Yeah. And isn't it good that we can learn from that? So we come as we are. God will accept us just as we are. And there's a song I've been listening to lately where a bridge or chorus says, you love me as you found me. You know, when we come face to face with Jesus, he just loves us. The first thing he doesn't say is, clean your act up, George. Clean your act up, Jill. Clean your act up, Sabina, and then come back. You know, get all clean. He hugs us in our mud. Like, there's times when I've hugged my boys when they were in mud, and there are times when I've gone, that way, please. But God always hugs us in our mud and cleans us up afterwards. Right? He always does. He all come as you are. And then we are to be people who welcome everyone as they are. And, you know, you guys do a great job. We feel that we could bring anybody into this church and they'll always feel welcome and they'll always feel loved because we've become family and we've learned that it's not about perfection, right? Mary blessed us this morning. Did she play perfectly? Was she a blessing to God and us? Ian sang this morning. Did he sing perfectly? We sometimes like to think we are. But you know what I'm saying? And we need to learn those lessons. Come as you are. Next. I don't know if this is going to work. It's supposed to then say, become as he is. But I didn't have time to check it because it's actually gone. Actually, that's a point. It's gone from Keynote to PowerPoint. And when she clicks next, it might happen. No, don't, because I don't want the next thing to come up yet. But, you know, God can take anything we bring and make it better anyway. Become as he is. You know, that's the challenge. And I don't know if you've been doing the readings for this week, but they made me really struggle because a lot of it was about us knowing that we are called and that we are all have a ministry. And, you know, we've talked about that, haven't we? We've talked about how we all have a ministry. And in Romans, it just praises a lot, whole lot of people in the Romans 16 reading. I'm not going to go over it, except that I found out that a lot of those people who were praised were Jews, and a lot of them were slaves or had been slaves. So everybody's included. You know, Peter talked about our name being important one time, and there's something about names. We've all got our name. Jesus doesn't forget us. He's always with us. And we're important no matter what our background is, where we've come from, or how far we've come. And in that passage in 1 Corinthians 16, you know, it talks about apostles, teachers, pastors, shepherds, being a gift to the body. I don't want to just read something from it. Actually, that's in Ephesians 4. Wrong verse. Good thing you're not expecting perfection, isn't it? Anyway, the reading was supposed to be Ephesians 4, 7 to 20, I think, or 16. Well, I asked Dorothy to include the first four verses. And it says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, I plead to you to walk holy. That's to be in right relationship with God. In the end, that's what matters. But in a way that is suitable to your high rank. I'm reading from the Passion. We've all been called. We have a destiny. We are all princes and princesses in the kingdom. We have a high rank. Whether we like it or not, that is who we are. You know, the royal family did not have a choice. They were born into it. When we're born again, we're born into the kingdom and we're princes and princesses. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially towards those who may try your patience. I know that Ian and Mary and Julie have been in a situation where someone has been trying their patience sorely, and I even said, probably a good thing I'm not there. But you know what I mean. I mean, the reason I'm mentioning in those verses is that we are called to encourage one another. We're family. You know, none of us are perfect. We are all going to, at some stage or other, going to rub each other the wrong way. I'm sorry. If it hasn't happened already, it'll. But you know what I'm saying? I think it's important to realize we're not a business. We're not a corporation. We are a family. We are all in it together, like it or not. We didn't get to choose one another, but this is who we are. And so we are to encourage one another, the Bible says. To become like Jesus, we need the help of his word. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We need each other's help because God never intended us to do this walk alone. And the important thing to remember now is that when people do annoy us and things go wrong, we can either choose. It's a choice. It's always a choice in relationship. We can choose to continue to be annoyed. Like sometimes you can't help being annoyed. Or maybe you can. But once I'm annoyed, I have a choice what to do with that annoyance. You know? And in this family, we need to learn to choose what's right. Become as he is. He always blessed people. And blessing people occasionally means can't say that, I might get in trouble, but do you know what I mean? What Dorothy talked about this morning, what Ian talked about, is that we are in the cusp of something, of doing great things. Each one of you are capable of so, so much. Now, not tomorrow, not next year, today. And the enemy is going to try and thwart that, and I've seen what he's trying to do. He's either going to get us to knock ourselves down. That's what we have to remember, that God accepts us, this as we are. Or he's going to try and get us to get annoyed at one another, because it's really hard to have unity when we are annoyed. And it's okay to get angry, but don't let your son go on, you know, down on younger. It's important, especially in this British society, that you have such a high value on being polite. Would you mind terribly, George, if? And it's lovely, but there's time to say, and George knows I have said, get on with it. Not, would you mind terribly, George, you know, not saying that or not thinking that or just in love. You see, we can speak the truth in love and the truth sets us free. We might not like it. My kids don't like it when I discipline them. But there comes a time when you know that someone needs a gentle push. I've talked about Caleb, right? And he's been here when I've talked, how he was our most timid at trying new things. And so, like, he wouldn't want to go down the slide. He didn't want to ride his bicycle on two wheels, even though he only had one trainer wheel, which actually is more difficult to ride than with no wheels. And there came a point at a time when we judged it was time that we went, have a fun ride. And we never made him do it again if he didn't like it. 99% of the time he'd go, oh, can I do that again? I'm talking about the fun things. There are other things we made him do again, whether he liked it or not, you know, like clean his room and other things. But I'm talking about the things that you know will bless somebody. But you know what? Within our family, it's important that we learn to give people permission to speak into our lives. There are people in this congregation that I've given some fairly major kicks at times. But that's because they have given me permission to do that. You know, they've come seeking, they've come with questions. And I started gentle. And I got not so gentle. And then I pushed. But that's because they gave me permission to speak into their lives to do, because they want to grow. They didn't like it at times, but they are thankful now. And if you need to know who it is and what about, I can give you some names so you can check with them. And it's true. I wouldn't be saying it. So within this, you know, we are all to encourage one another, but we also should seek one or two people that we give permission to speak into our lives, because you know what? We don't always get it right. I don't always get it right. Ian doesn't always get it right. I was going to say he does, but he doesn't. You know, I'm not allowed to tell lies. It's important that we encourage as much as possible. My number one goal is to look gold for gold in every person. And that's what I try to do, and that's what I try and encourage. But very occasionally, there are issues that we need to address in love. And if we've been given permission or given someone permission, then it's actually still hard to do. Like, you know, when I joke about it, right? But at the times when I've given this push, I have literally gone within 30 seconds gone, oh God, I hope that was right. I don't always get it right. But I can't stop myself from encouraging in case it's that one time I might get it wrong. I have to trust and build that relationship. So if I do get it wrong, we can sort it out, forgive one another, and move on, right? Okay, so become as he is. I wonder if you get a picture of Jesus. Become as Jesus is. Is this the picture that first comes to mind? Oh, there you go. Next. When we think of Jesus, you know, he was loved by people. He enjoyed life. He came to bring life to the full. He can't give us life to the full if he doesn't carry it himself. So he came to bring us love, joy, peace, patience, power, forgiveness, all these things. The sad thing is that as a church on the whole, this isn't the Jesus we've portrayed to people, right? Just keep about five of them. This isn't the Jesus that we portray, but this is the Jesus that we want to portray. And in time, he will give us a good kick when we need it, I know. I remember being in a situation, in a ministry situation one time for a couple of years in a church. And Ian asked me what I was feeling, and I said, actually, I can't cope with being here any longer. I hope God does something. And he said, why not? And I said, because I've needed a good kick in the backside for at least 6 months, if not longer, and I'm never getting it here. You know what I mean? There is a time when Jesus will do that for us. There isn't time when he goes, yeah, you are, Sabina. You need to do that. But most of the time, he wants to fill us with love, with joy, with peace, with hope. It's good news. It's good news. Baking powder. Who'd like to have some right now? No. Who's done baking with baking powder? Who's ever had the misfortune of tasting it accidentally? Or gone to a container that you thought had baking powder and you had to do that, you went, that's definitely baking powder. And if it tastes good, it wasn't baking powder, right? Flour? How exciting is it to eat flour on its own? Is it important though? Can we do without it? This is the one that most people won't mind. It's sugar. And especially kids, right? And you get the blocks and you don't mind that. But it's not very healthy on its own. And in fact, all you do taste is sweet. And if you've tasted good sweet things, sugar isn't that exciting unless there's nothing else around, which we discovered in Mozambique. Oil. I don't know how people ever drank castor oil, do you know? Like oil, any oil. It's okay with some things, right? Like I really like olive oil in my salad. But even a drop of olive oil on its own for me doesn't do much. I know some people like it, like they just dip it and like it. My taste buds don't go that far. They're not that refined. Oh, who's ever tasted cocoa powder just on its own? It's not nice. But you know, but when you look at that, you go, ooh, I could do so much with that. I could take that really easily and turn it into, right? And we could have eggs, and eggs are all right on their own. Some people like to eat them raw. And so, you know, we have all these ingredients. Oh, forgiveness, that's an important one. Ingredients. George and Julie blessed me by bringing the real thing. Like, if you look at eggs, you could do lots of different things, right? And that's actually something that some people can eat on its own. And it's healthy. But together, there's so much more possibility. Those ingredients turned into this. Julie made it. And when I told Ian this morning that she'd made brownies, chocolate brownies, he went, ooh. And I said, doesn't mean you're going to get any. The ingredients in that made this. Altogether, the batter before it got cooked, right, would have been not bad. I don't know if you like it, but yeah, there's some. But you actually couldn't eat the whole thing like that, you know. But some of us could eat that whole thing like this, unfortunately, right? So it needed to get combined, and then it needed to go through process, which involved lots of heat. And so as we think when we do baking, when we do cooking, that's what we're supposed to be like as family. You know, each of us individually are useful, and we can have more uses than for baking. I know you can make play-doh with flour. You can use it to actually rub it on something that's sticky and get it off things. You know, baking soda has so many uses outside the kitchen, etc. You know, I can make a hot chocolate with the cocoa, and then it'd be nice. Cocoa sugar milk. Very nice. And God, in his timing and in his perfect place, will take some or all of those ingredients and put us together to create something that's much more interesting than any of us on our own. Now, he can use any of those on their own, just like we could use for different situations any one of those things on their own. But it's much more interesting, much more tasty, when all those things get combined. But it's not enough, because Holy Spirit has to do a process. You see, it takes all of us to be willing to come together for God to make something that then he can heat and make into something even better that will be a greater blessing to so many others. And that's us, folks. That's you and me. The things Ian and I can do are not the things that any of you can do. Maybe some of them. You know what I mean? Like all the things that make me are not all the things that make George Ham or Florence or Barbara. I need all you guys to make me grow. Let me read this. Becoming as he is takes all of us. So Ephesians 4 in the Passion. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, sent out ones, some with grace to be prophets, speaking to situations, speaking to people's lives, some with grace to be evangelists, see the lost one, some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers or imparters of wisdom. And their calling, like we're called to be pastors of this church, their calling is to nurture and prepare all the believers to do their own works of ministry. We're not here to do it, but our calling is to train, to equip. But you know what? Each of you have a calling that without you, I'm not going to grow. See, it's not a matter of those roles being more kingly, more important. You know, those of you who are teachers, you're not more important than your students, right? You just have a different role. We all have different roles. And as teachers, you're not trying to make your students become you. You're trying to impart and encourage and do all you can to help them reach their full potential. So we and you, when we're dealing with people, when we come and rub shoulders, and sometimes that's, you know, makes us hot, makes us, you know what I mean? Our role is to encourage one another to reach our full potential. Sometimes we can get sidetracked and we think, well, why aren't they doing it like me? Why are they still annoying me? Because they've taken what you've said and they've grown, but some things are just still annoying until grace comes and peace and God helps you work it out. Or you learn to live with it because that's just who they are. Okay? We have to be honest like that. So, we are all called to help each other grow, to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they, as pastors, teachers, etc., pass on what they've learned. And this is life things as well. As we all teach one another the things God has taught us, then they prepare believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge the body of Christ. We'll get stronger, but we'll also grow in numbers as we all reach out, as we all share the gospel, as we all do this. Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. That's in verse 16. And these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body. We are then built up and made perfect in love. You know what? If you opt out of sometimes giving me a nudge, of encouraging me or anything, I will not be as mature or grow in as much love as I'm meant to. We are definitely called to become as he is. I wonder when, just before Julie puts up the next picture, I had another picture thing. Before, it's just because I don't know how long it's going to stay up before the next thing is. When you look at the next slide that comes up, you know, how beautiful do you think it is? What does it make you think of? And then we'll move on. Very interesting, isn't it? Really colourful, really. When you saw that first picture, there is no way, unless you got a word of knowledge, that you thought of this. And if you got that sort of gifting, please pray for me afterwards. I'm serious. When you saw that first picture, can we do that again? Oh, she's going backwards. This is part of the same thing, right? When I look at that, I see nothing. I think boring. I think those edges aren't even round. There's nothing smooth about it. And what the heck? But as you go through and you zoom out and someone has done more work with the initial picture, something beautiful happens. And for me, it's hard to believe that these are all jagged lines. Like this is fur on a mammal that's come out of not many colors, but lots of different shades of those colors. And that there's no way when I saw that, I thought, that's never going to look any good. And it must be one of my favorites. And I chose this one because it's not really colorful. There is some color, but you see, say, take for instance that gray. There's probably like 20. For some of you, some of those grays are going to look like all the same. There's about 20 different shades of gray. And so what happens is, as we grow, we can be, God uses us, right? Oh, that wasn't meant. I just, someone's looked at me and I'm going. The brown's everything. That as we develop, we can be used in different sections. Do you see what I mean? So when we first start, God already has this in mind. When he looks at your life, he already has, and this isn't even the final picture, this is just the head, and he's not moving. Like, you know, I can't do that, I'm sorry, I can't make it alive. But you know what I'm saying? We start with so little. When we're looking around at our lives, sometimes they seem dull and boring, and they seem like God isn't doing anything. So if we were back in that first picture and I was stuck in one of those coloring shapes and all I could see was these jagged lines and no color, I'd be thinking, God has a great plan for me. And that's what the enemy is constantly trying to get us. The enemy is trying to get us to look at the first picture, maybe the second. But God always wants to see it from heaven's perspective. He has the finished product. He's outside of time. He already has everything in process that if, as we cooperate, he's building a beautiful picture. Sometimes he gives us glimpses of us. Sometimes he gives us glimpses. But most of the time we're just in process. And the reason I'm showing you this is because it's a little bit like Jill's picture of the roar of the lion. We feel like we're making this tiny sound and nothing's making a difference. But it's already making a difference. That's why the enemy's scared, and that's why he wants you to think that nothing is happening. Because he never wants you to become this. And he's trying everything he can do to slow up that process. We must know that there is a final amazing destiny that God has in each one of our lives. And that's what we have to focus when we're only tasting flour. Because see, all that is a clip is applicable to us as a church, but all those things are also applicable to us as individuals. You know, sometimes all we can feel like we've got in our hand is the flower, and you think. And that's why it's good to meet up with other people who've got other ingredients. But if you're on your own, God's going to give you the next ingredient as well, because he's in process. We're all in process. And his picture is amazing for us. So when we're going through the hard times and we're going, we need to know that there's a big roar of the Father behind us, and that this he will accomplish. Because he said, he who started a good work in you may bring it to completion. He who started a good work in you will bring it to completion. And you know what? The more we cooperate, the more we encourage one another, the more we allow each other into our lives, the quicker that process can become. But the main thing when we're dealing with the enemy is that we can't let him make us continue to look at the little bit of lines that we have drawn or someone else has drawn around us for the time. We need to seek God so we can ask for a perspective of what it's going to look like, or a glimpse of his finished product. Because the enemy is only trying to thwart, because he's scared, because he knows the victory is ours, and he's trying to hurt God. Do you hear me? The enemy is trying to hurt God through you and through me. Are you more hurt when someone does something to you or when they do it to your kids? Or to your friends? Or to your husband? Or to your wife? Or to those around you? I don't care who they are. Do you stand up and go, oh, I'm more hurt now? When most people can do anything to me and I'll be hurt, but I'll be okay. But they touch my voice. In Christian love, of course. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, if that's how we feel with those around us, that's how God feels when the enemy tries to get to us. God will take the table tennis ball in whatever way, shape, or form. If it's broken, he glues it back together. It doesn't matter what shape that ball is in. Doesn't matter what shape either of us are in. And it doesn't matter how far we've come, as long as we're growing. Right. When my boys were one, I had different expectations of them than when they were five and when they were 10 and they were 15. And now my youngest is almost 21. You know what I'm saying? It's not about how far, where we are now. It's about growing. You know, the biggest enemy, besides us trying to look at things from our point of view, not from God's, or from the point of view the enemy's trying to. The other biggest thing, it's coming, Lord. Is he tries to make us feel alone and isolated. And that's not the one I was going to say. It'll come back. It's important. It'll come back. Next slide, please. Might be the next sermon. Folks, this is the church. At the fun day, just having lunch together, Porter Cabin. A few people braving the rain at wildfires. Toddlers. This was such a special moment. I got to be there, my first toddlers group. Wasn't it, Julie? It was such a blessing. This little boy. Just happy in Julie's arms. This is the church. We're here on Sunday to worship Dad and to encourage one another, to learn and to grow. But we don't stop being the church when we leave this place. Whether we're on our own, it's much better to be with others. But we are his church as we go out. And we need to be growing and to become as Jesus. So our goal for our church is that we come as we are. We always come as we are. But we become as he is. We become the servant-hearted, loving, kind, forgiving Savior. We become people who want to see heaven on earth because that's what Jesus modeled. It's also about power. It's about healing. It's about setting people free. As we finish, I want to play a song. And it says, it's called Ready or Not. But the words, I'm not going to read them all to you. It says, come now as you are or as you want to be. Are you ready? Come now, tired, broken, scared, or just in need. Ready or not, it's all right. Take your time. If nothing else, just come. You know, when we feel like we've got nothing to give, just come. Be. That's why the enemy tries to keep us away from church. Because we need one another. We need to and courage. We can bring our hopes, our fears, or doubts. It goes on through a few things. There's no place like his presence. There's no time like the now. We are all capable of amazing things today. Come now, for all we've seen, we ain't seen nothing yet. That's what God's saying to us today. For all we've seen, we ain't seen nothing yet. Come now, bring him praise for what he might do next. See, we need to live in hope, in constant expectation, that as I walk out and I try to share his love and his light, as Dan shared, you know, he didn't think he'd get an opportunity, but we're just all trying to let this, as Ian's saying, let the revival zone touch somebody. We never know what he's going to do. And we'll never know if we don't do it, though. That's the reason. We have to keep going. So shut your eyes. We're just going to play this song, and I'm going to finish in prayer. No, I haven't put the words on purpose. Lord, we thank you that you've already bought our freedom, that you've already paid our debt. You've already done the miracle and you've conquered death. You're our light, you're our salvation, you're our rock of solid hope. You've already done enough for us. But you're already doing more and want to do so much more. Lord, thank you that you've seen the ending and you've planned the way, that you've seen us through to today and that that's not going to stop, that you're always with us and for us. Thank you that you're breaking out in us and that you want to increase that area of power and of influence. Thank you that you are already on the move. Lord, you're ready to touch people every second of every day. Thank you that you've already won our battles. Lord, that we're in the victory side. Lord, thank you that you've paved the way even when we can't see it. That you've gone ahead of us and you're with us. And that you're ready to walk us through. And Lord, I thank you that for whatever we've seen, some of us have seen you do more than others. But for whatever we've seen, you ain't done anything yet. You have so much more that you want to do in us and through us. And so, Lord, I want to praise you now that you are in the process of touching us, touching one another, touching Britwell, Slough, and this nation through us, that enable us, Holy Spirit, empower us, give us the courage to step out and just see what you might do next, to the glory of Jesus, and help us to be people that encourage one another and look for the gold that sometimes we struggle to see in ourselves. Father, thank you we are saints, that we are princes and princesses, Lord, that we were sinners, but now we are saints, we are saved ones, we are bought ones. In royal robes I don't deserve. That's how I'm clothed, that's how we're clothed. Lord, we don't deserve the royal clothes you've put on us. But we thank you for it. And we want to serve our majesty. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I finish, Ian and I to watch Prince Caspian. We got hold of the DVD. There's lots we don't like about it. You'll really enjoy it if you don't expect it to be like the book. The books are always better. But at the end, the princess, high princess, and come up, and Caspian is with them. You know, the victory's there. Aslan's won the victory. And they kneel, and he says to Caspian, Aslan says to Caspian, "Welcome, Prince. Do you feel yourself sufficient to take up the kingship of Narnia?" And he goes, I don't think I do, sir. I'm only a kid." And Aslan says, "Good. If you had felt yourself sufficient, it would have been proof that you were not." So when the enemy comes and tries to make us doubt, we go, "Yeah, that's all my daddy says, I'm ready. Because he and I together are ready for this." So you're ready. Because we think we're not, God will bless us and will use us. And we'll touch his heart in ways we have no idea how much we touch him.